Welcome to Promptly Potter, where each episode we flex our critical analysis muscles and break down a question about the Harry Potter novels. This is episode 124, and today's prompt comes from chapter 30 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, titled Gromp. Hello folks, my name is Steph, and I will be your host for this episode. Today's prompt focuses on a giant problem. Many believe that Gromp is not necessary to the story. What would change if he were not included? Gromp. What a freaking disaster of a situation this is. I'll say from the outset that I am personally rather neutral on the issue here. Before I put together the script for this episode, I didn't care about Gromp one way or the other. He's a sentimental, fish-out-of-water character, and I don't think we're really meant to feel much for Gromp other than maybe a vague pity and some frustration. In order to wrap our heads around this large problem, let's just discuss a brief timeline of how Gromp comes to be in the Forbidden Forest, starting all the way back with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. In Goblet of Fire, Harry is tricked into entering the Triwizard Tournament by a nefarious party that we later learn was Barty Crouch Jr., who was working on behalf of Lord Voldemort. Again. During the tournament, we have the Yule Ball, and Harry finds out that both Hagrid and Madame Maxime are half-giant, which comes as a pretty big surprise to him. We later find out that many wizards are biased against half-giants, and Hagrid is inundated with hate mail and even tries to resign from his position. Even the Minister for Magic, Cornelius Fudge, tries to get Dumbledore to be suspicious of Madame Maxime, implying that she is less than trustworthy because of her half-giant status. Ultimately, Barty Crouch Jr.'s ploy works. Voldemort is able to get some of Harry's blood, and the dark magic, quasi-necromantic ritual brings Voldemort back to life and full power. A boon to Voldemort is granted in the form of Minister Fudge being unwilling to face facts and start up some of the anti-dark magic and anti-Voldemort machinations that should be going into place. Dumbledore decides to directly go against Fudge in this matter, and starts gathering allies the very same day as the events in the graveyard. One of these plots is to start schmoozing the giant communities and hopefully lure them away from partnership with the Death Eaters. If you're curious to hear more discussion about the giants and whether they could have benefited from an alliance with Death Eaters, check out Promptly Potter episode 114, where we talk about just exactly that. So then, Dumbledore rounds up the only two people that he knows could possibly succeed, our unfairly maligned half-giants, Hagrid and Olymp. They go through a few attempts with the giants, but they are ultimately unsuccessful at winning the giants over to Dumbledore's side. After their attempts, Hagrid and Olymp go their separate ways, and Hagrid slowly makes his way back to Hogwarts while Madame Maxime makes her way back to France and Beauxbatons. But Hagrid has a big secret. A giant secret, if you will. His diminutively sized half-brother has come to reside with Hagrid at Hogwarts. We have to look at some of the events of this book in retrospect, because we get everything from Harry's perspective, and we don't know about Gromp until Harry knows about Gromp, which isn't until this chapter, over three-quarters of the way through the book. Hagrid arrives late to the term at Hogwarts. The welcome feast has come and gone, the trio have already gone through several weeks of class, heck, they've even had their first visit to Hogsmeade for the year by the time Hagrid gets back. As soon as they notice that Hagrid's hut is lit up, they sneak out of the castle under the invisibility cloak and go visit him. But they find out that there's more going on with Hagrid than meets the eye. Ron comments that Hagrid has turned up with, quote, a pound of mints instead of a face. But, listener, you and I can read, listen, between the lines. Hagrid has come late to the school year because he has had to bring Gromp back with him from a very great distance away, and using as little magic as possible. Hagrid, after all, is not legally allowed to use magic due to his being expelled from school at a very young age. Gromp is a walking, talking statute of secrecy violation, so they have to go very slowly and avoid all of the populated areas through the countries that they're visiting. Gromp is being removed from the only home and community he has ever known, and he and Hagrid do not even have a full language in common. Is it a surprise, then, that Grop has some tantrums and causes some injuries to Hagrid as they travel along? Getting back to our prompt, what would happen at this point if we took Grop out of the plot entirely? Hagrid would have arrived back at school on time, he might not have damaged his relationship with Madame Maxime, and hopefully he wouldn't have turned up looking like he was, quote, in a right state. Ron, again. That all sounds awesome, but it's not really great. If Hagrid showed back up at school in time, he would have encountered Professor Umbridge earlier when she didn't have as much going on. We know that Umbridge has a strong anti-half-breed bias, and she would have found the earliest possible moment to get Hagrid fired. Hagrid arriving late to school means that Professor Umbridge has less time to evaluate him and bother him, though, of course, he is eventually fired, as we find out in this chapter. I don't think there's a great loss of plot here, because we know that Hagrid gets fired in the end anyway, but it would have happened earlier, and would have, of course, prevented more of his interactions with the trio later on. Now, let's catch up to the current chapter. Hagrid shows up to the final Quidditch match of the year, nose dripping with blood, looking entirely woebegone, and he pleads with Hermione and Harry to skip the match. Given his disheveled state and his insistent pleading, the pair reluctantly leave the game and follow Hagrid into the Forbidden Forest, where they meet the source of many of Hagrid's problems, Grop the Giant. We learn that the centaurs are livid with Hagrid because of the placement of the giant in the middle of the forest, and that they are also in turn angry with wizards, humans, and Hagrid in particular, for interfering in centaur affairs and allowing for wrens to be hired at Hogwarts. This news isn't particularly notable to the plot at this time, because Harry, Ron, and Hermione rarely go into the forest, and they almost never interact with the centaur herd. If we removed Grop from this situation, then we start to have more of a problem. The centaurs are more angry because Hagrid stopped them from murdering the traitor for wrens, and less angry because of Grop, but they are still angry at the humans for aiding for wrens. Yet, if we take Grop out of the situation here, Hermione and Harry might not have found out that the centaurs are angry, and that is a huge problem. In chapter 33, Hermione deliberately manipulates the centaur herd as much as she manipulates Professor Umbridge, which is a rather dirty and desperate trick that I don't think Hermione would have tried if she weren't so backed into a corner in this situation. But if she and Harry don't manage to find out about the centaur ire, then they don't manage to thwart Umbridge and they don't get to the ministry. What happens then? Well, some good stuff. The prophecy doesn't break, Sirius probably lives, and none of their friends get hurt. The problem is Fudge would never have literally faced the fact that Voldemort is back, and the rest of the world would have been worse off for it. Ultimately, you can take Grop out of the story and have Harry, Hermione, and Ron find out about the centaur's wrath from a different source. But Grop leads them into what ends up being an extremely important plot. But that is merely my opinion. Tell us what you think about today's prompt over on MuggleNet.com's social media channels and use hashtag PromptlyPotter to join the conversation.
Promptly Potter is produced by Marissa Osman, edited by Patrick Muselek, and is brought to you by MuggleNet.com.